I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
See, here you're about to tell the whole story, and we haven't even started. We got to play the intro before you tell the story for the tangent. You know, you can't just, like, tell us the whole story and then it's over. You know what I'm saying?
Gotta give a little tease. Coming up, the juiciest story.
Yeah. Okay, Rufio, go ahead. Shut up. Go ahead. What are you making fun of me for? I'm the tease master. Rufio, hit it.
It's the tangent with the Fred Show.
Giving you all the sh** we couldn't talk about on air.
Hardest working man in show business. Thank you so much. What? What?
I think I'm the tease master.
You know what? I stand corrected. Yeah. I'm tease master junior.
Oh, cute.
You're tease master senior. Your teases are very good. It's true. It's true. I'm well known throughout the industry though for being the cliffhanging tease guy.
Are you?
Yeah. No, I just
no,
made
you're
that.
More
I
mean,
you're
for well blowing known. The tease sometimes.
Yeah. No, I am known for blowing the tease. Yeah.
You
yeah.
Never blow guess your what load celebrity. Too early.
You know oh. What? That's also happening. I'll
Is that
tell
what
you
happened
something.
On your date on Friday?
No, but I wouldn't have been ashamed if it did. At my age, if you look, everything works great. And I think Rufio knows what I'm talking about, but it's not quite like it used to be. So if somebody can make me go that fast, I will do it. I don't care.
Wait, Rufio, confirm, deny.
You know what I'm saying? When you're 22 years old, and everything's new and I don't know, it's just different.
Really?
You know what I mean?
As far as, I'm confused.
Okay.
That high pony's too tight.
We're close to the same age, right?
Yes.
As far as like excitement from sex and sensitivity from sex, when you were 20 years, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out how to word this, but when you were 20 years old, you were far more likely to like two pump jump it than when you're 40.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it, I don't know if it's a testosterone difference or what it is, but I'm less impressed than I was. It's probably an exposure thing, to be honest with you. Like, everything was much hotter because I was so inexperienced, you know, versus
plus
now.
You get older, you know what works for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you do that, it's gonna happen.
And I will say, there's something physiological. And I think women, I think you guys ebb and flow with this because I think it's like your 20s, maybe there's like a dip and then it 30s and then it goes back up from what I understand, the libido. I think it's a libido thing. It's just the drive isn't what it was. When I was 20, if I saw something that was hot, then I had to like sit down because I had, I had wood. No, it's true. You know, guys know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I had wood.
But so from what I understand, there is a dip for women too. And then it goes, trust me, 40 something, it goes up, way up. So maybe you're in the prime, maybe your 30s go down, and then in the 40s it goes up.
Because a guy told me I was effing crazy the other day because I was woke him up at 3:30 to do it again.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Well, no, at first he was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. And then I was like, I believe in you. And then he was like, I can't have you thinking I'm a quitter. But he's a little bit older than me, so.
Good for him.
I called him old man, and then that really worked.
Wow.
Yeah. Shame wow. a man. That's how you get him.
Yeah.
No, I enjoy the... I do the nudge sometimes. Like if you spend the night, if I wake up and it's 4:00 in the morning and you're there, I'll wake your ass up. I don't care.
Oh, you're just not like, hey, what are you still doing here?
Well, no. First I go, what are you doing here?
And then,
once I realize you're not leaving, then I'm like, oh, well. But I like to wake them up my own special way.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I like to wake them up. Mm-hmm. I guess I can say it because we're on the tangent, but I wake them.
We got it though.
Yeah, I wake them up.
Yeah, we got it.
All right.
I have a signature move, and it's hello. Yeah. Anyway, you don't want to hear about it. It's fine.
We already know. Yeah, waking up in the middle. I would be so mad if someone woke me up in the middle of the night.
I don't think you'd be mad if I woke you up this way, but it's fine.
Usually
it's fine.
I have to pee when I get woken up. I don't know.
Well, that that would be an unfortunate time to experience that. I'm not into water sports, but. Anyway, go ahead, Christy, with your story. Now you can tell your story because we're like we're doing the tangent actually. So go ahead with whatever.
It was my sister's wedding over the weekend. It's her second wedding. She's a year older than me, which is great because this is the right guy this time. Whatever. My sister's married. My brother's married. And so I'm the only single one left. And my mom looks at me and she's like, you know what? I don't think you're going to get married anymore. And I was like, damn. Oh, wow. I'm 28 years old, mom. Like, but it's a small town kind of mentality. You know, they're all married by the time they're 25 in, you know, Mesopotamia or whatever you guys call
it. Yeah, yeah.
And now she just looks at me like, oh, I just don't think you're going to get married anymore. And I was like, that's kind of a bold
statement. You're in your late 20s, mid-late 20s, and she's already given up on you?
She's given up entirely. She's like, I'm just not, I don't have to save for your wedding. I think you're fine.
Huh.
Yeah.
But your brother and sister still live in the same, like they still live in.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. You're on a different path. Like you've traveled for work, like you're on your career path. You know what I'm saying? So you're definitely different. You're not in the hometown like, hey, working at the same general store since I was 10.
Yeah.
The general, what is this, like a Western town?
She rides her horse to the old general store.
They have like shootouts in the street? Yeah.
Sometimes. But I have like this crazy single aunt, and we call her, she's never had a relationship. She has six cats. She's my Aunt Sue. My mom was like, oh, that's going to be you now, Christy.
Yeah, no, I was pointing something out to Rufio. It has nothing to do with the tangent. You know what I think it is? And my parents are a little better about it, but I think that if that's the case, like if your mom got married, young age, small town, some guy in the town, your brother and your sister did that, I feel like it's hard sometimes for people to understand, like, well, why don't you follow the... Because that was the tradition. That was what people did, you know, decades ago. I mean, 60s, 70s, 80s, what, you know, you met someone in high school, met someone in college, you married them when you were young, you had kids, you had a house, and that's what you did. And I feel like, you know, that's no longer the standard anymore. I think some people do that, and a lot of people don't. And I think it's hard for some people to understand. I think it's a little hard for my parents are cool about it, and I think they understand where I'm at, but I think it's also hard for them to understand, like, well, why wouldn't you want to get married, and why wouldn't you want to have kids? You'd be a great dad, all these things. And it's like, I don't know. I don't feel that pressure to do that. I don't think that's the way I have to live my life just because that's what people do.
Yeah, it's so annoying because everyone at the wedding was like, oh, you're just too picky. And I'm like, because I have standards? Like, they marry the first person they meet is what they do in my hometown. So they think I'm the pickiest person ever.
I don't think it's picky. I just think you probably want to feel a certain kind of way about the people that you date.
Right.
And it's not, and this is another thing too, and maybe this is, I don't mean to make this sound bleak or whatever, but there are so many, there's so much engagement, right? You got the dating app. Dating is not easy. It was probably easier back in the day because now you've got, you know, first of all, the standard has changed where the expectation is not that you're going to like focus in high school and college and when you're young on finding someone to marry. Now it's, you know, I don't know. That's not the way everyone does things. Then you combine the dating apps and social media and all the rest of it and the different mindsets. It's, I don't know. It's really hard to find someone that you connect with and that has the same goals as you do.
Yeah. No one in my hometown has ever used a dating app, so they don't really get that.
And there's a lot of distraction, and there are a lot of options. Like my grandparents. I mean, what was this, in the 40s? Mm-hmm. I guess it was. They were married for 70 years. Yeah. I mean, so they grew up in the same small town. My grandfather knew my grandmother's brother. They met. I mean, I think he served in the military for a couple of years, came back. It was time to get married. He liked her, loved her, whatever. They got married, and there was no divorce. So they got married. They got had a house. They had three kids, and they just lived their lives. And that's just what they did because that's what everybody else did. And now that's not what everybody does all the time. And so it's hard to nail down someone who shares the exact same values that you do because they vary.
Well, they don't nail down people with the same values. In my hometown, people will post on Instagram, like, it's been 5 years. We fought each other, called the cops on each other 1,000 times, but we made it through. And I'm like, how is that the person?
You live in that kind of town?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm like, how is that the person you married?
But that's the other thing, is that people don't quit either. People didn't quit. You know, how many times in 70 years do you think my grandparents said, this isn't for me. There's more to life than this. But that wasn't an option. You know, so it's just a different mindset. I just think that we've evolved into a different, there's just a different standard, right? And everyone's standard is different. And again, if everybody agreed that you meet someone in high school or college and you get married and have a family and kids, then it would be a lot easier to do it because you would be almost forced to do it because if you didn't, you'd be the pariah. You know?
Yeah, they're like, he cheated on me for the first 10 years of our relationship.
Well, I'm not saying it should be an unhealthy relationship.
Just like The Notebook.
Yeah, just like The Notebook.
Oh, well, that's not good to hear that your mom has given up on you. My mom still believes that I'm going to meet somebody and have a kid.
I do too.
I don't know about the kid.
Huh. I think you will.
I don't know about the kid.
You might meet someone who has a kid and then, you know.
I don't want to be, I don't want to be an old ass dad. I don't. I mean, I'm 40 years old. Yeah. I don't consider myself old now. But let's say I meet someone today. Let's say we date for 8 months to a year. Let's say we get pregnant immediately. I'm 40, almost 42. And that's if everything
goes
perfectly.
That's my mom. She had my sister at 41, and she's the hottest mom out there.
Did she mean to have her?
Yeah, of course.
She did. But second marriage, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because sometimes at that age, it's an accident.
No, she was very much wanted and planned. But no, I mean, my mom looks better than half those, and she runs circles around those moms.
That is correct.
So listen, time doesn't really, it's not a thing anymore.
I just don't know if I want to be 60 at the kid's high school graduation. I don't know. I mean,
that's how I feel. My son will be, almost 60 and he's graduating high school.
60 is nothing, you guys. It's all good.
I mean, I feel young. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm almost 40 and I don't feel like I'm 40.
Yeah, just keep yourself healthy.
But look, I mean, when I was in my 20s, I would have figured it out and I would have been responsible, but I wouldn't have been able to take the risks that I took in my career to get to this point, right? So it worked out for me. I wouldn't have been as good of a dad in my 20s as I would have been in my 30s.
Agreed.
And as I will be now.
Yeah.
Now I'm super settled. Like, I a lot of the bullshit, I don't care about that anymore. I'm not trying to be out here in these streets. You know, Paulina's learning this earlier than I did. Mm-hmm. I'd be very happy to have a partner and do all of that. That's not the thing. So if I had a kid, that kid would be way better off and loved now. Well, not, it wouldn't have been loved any less. I think the kid's life would be more stable now than it would have been when I was younger. And I don't know that I would have been able to provide the way that I can now because I wouldn't necessarily have been able to take the risks.
Yeah, he's getting designer onesies is what you're saying.
You're damn right.
You would have figured it out. And I love that you say that because it's true. I feel the same way. But I'm happy that it's happening later in life. And I know you keep saying, oh, I don't want to be old. But like, I the kid's going to keep you young, man.
Yeah, everyone's on their own journey.
Yeah, I really don't feel old. You know, I felt old last week when I'm hanging out with a 24-year-old for for an entire consecutive week. And he was pretty mature, but it's like, wow, there is a big difference between, you know, just graduating college. And I hang out with you guys, and you guys are all primarily younger, but you also are, you know, expert communicators, and you're very mature and whatever, except for Christy, very mature and all of that. So, well, she knows it.
I'm fully agreeing with that. It's okay.
Yeah, 24 is young. Like, I didn't think I was that young when I was 24, but now when I talk to a 24-year-old, I'm like, what is going on in your head?
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
My best
and that's not a diss. It's just like, yeah, right. I remember when I was like 22 having a conversation with a 30-year-old, essentially telling them that I already knew how to live my life.
Oh, Lord.
And I look back and I go, I must have come off like a real prick because I didn't know anything.
You don't know shit.
No. Nothing.
I'm like, what?
Not shit.
No. Nothing. But anyway, yeah, it would have worked out. But again, you know, if you have a kid, then you don't leave the stable job in whatever industry you're in to go take the potentially risky job that may not work out because you keep with the stable paycheck. I mean, some people do, and I respect the people who do, but now you're thinking about at least two other people, and I've only had to think about myself. I think the hard part about that is after 20 years of only thinking about yourself, it's hard not to continue just thinking about yourself. And also, if you don't mind being alone, and I don't, people use that word alone as a super negative thing. I don't see it as that way. I actually would rather be alone my whole life than with somebody who I didn't feel connected to.
1,000,000%.
And that's hard for people to understand. It's super hard for people to understand because there's some people on the total other end of the spectrum, right? Where
they'd rather be unhappy but in a relationship.
They don't want to be alone. Being alone is frightening.
That's my mother. She's like, how do you do?
See, there
how
you
do you
go.
Sleep at night without someone?
See,
easily.
There you go.
I get the whole damn bed. It's great.
So she's not coming from a place of she's biased. She's not being objective because she's seeing it through her lens, which is how
she's
could you be alone because she can't be alone.
She's in her entire life. She's always had a man.
Yeah, she's pretty.
So projecting. So is my siblings. Like, they've always been in relationships. I'm the only one that's, like, perpetually single, so they don't get it.
No, it is. It's really hard for people to... I think it's harder for people to understand being alone than it is being in a relationship that's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Alone, for some reason, has this stigma of being bad.
It's so crazy.
And I don't know. I think it's my biggest issue, is that if I date someone and I just don't feel a certain kind of way, and I think the bar's really, really high, then I just revert to being alone because I just know it well, and I feel comfort in it. Yeah,
I'm in group texts with all my best girlfriends and their husbands or boyfriends. Like, I'm the third wheel, and I love it. Like, I'll be like, what do you guys think of this guy? Like, I don't mind. It's like, I would so much rather do this than be... I've been unhappy in a relationship. It's torture.
Sometimes it comes from a place of jealousy. Like, if you're the person in a married relationship, you're like, oh, why, you need to get in a relationship so you could be miserable like I am. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, not that you're miserable.
No,
Rufio.
Not that I'm miserable.
I'm miserable,
but I'm just saying.
But I'm alone.
Like, they're like, oh, you gotta get in a relationship, man. This is what it is. So, you know, so you could be sad like I am, you know?
Yeah. God. And I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble. And I wouldn't say it's universal, but I would say more married couples than not, even if they love and even like their husbands and are really grateful for their kids and the family, most of my married friends would not necessarily promote doing it.
Dude, like,
I hate to say it.
Everyone who says that to me, like, don't you want to whatever? And I said it to Nana. I say it to my mom. I say, okay, name one happily married couple.
Yeah.
And they stumble. They can't. And I know that's sad and I seem jaded. Obviously, like, Rufio and Jess are
happy.
Yeah,
right. Like, I look at Rufio and
our relationship is not perfect. You know what I'm saying?
Well, nobody is. No. But, like, I would look at you guys as goals because you guys are happy you did it. You're happy together. Whatever. Obviously, you're not perfect, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I asked these people who are saying this to name one, and half of them can't ever even name one. And I'm like, it doesn't look fun to me.
Most of my married friends, not all, most of them are still married because it's like, you know what? We've been together for 20 years, 15 years. We have kids. Yeah. I mean,
it's easier than getting divorced.
I don't want to divide my shit. Like, right. I don't not like this person, but I could be happier alone. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't even know where to begin. So I just don't do anything.
How do you like someone it's for like, that long? I don't get it.
Was it like a Reddit trend that happened 2 weeks ago? It's like you ended up with a person that wasn't your soulmate. It's just people that you settled for. Mm-hmm. And there were like thousands of people saying, yeah, I settled for my husband because it's comfortable. Like,
yeah, look, and
so
it's goals, right? Like, it's. I think that the reason that so many people get divorced, you've heard this theory from me before, is that they have a vision for their life, mm-hmm. and they need another person to create the vision, right? And I'm not saying this is male or female, but let's just say either way, either gender, your vision is security, companionship, a family, not being alone. That kind of stuff. So safety, let's say that's, so you need another person for that.
Right.
And if you want all that stuff to happen in a relatively expedient period of time, then you wind up potentially not being as picky as you might be or settling in some ways. Yeah. And some people manage to grow their love for each other and for some it's a decline. But I think people realize after they've accomplished all this stuff, they look at this person and go, this isn't the way I saw it happening, mm-hmm. because that person was the conduit to the life that they really wanted, which didn't necessarily include that person, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like in my sister's case, I think it's working out great. I mean, but I think my sister got to an age and a point in her life where she committed a couple of years to a relationship and she really wanted to be a mom and she's an incredible mom. But she needed the conduit and she wanted the security and she values things that I don't necessarily value. And so I don't think there was any question she was going to marry her husband.
Mm-hmm. I think they were really in love.
No. Yeah. I do think that.
Yeah,
but like,
I think they.
But any sort of, I don't know. It's hard for me to say. And that's a bad example because I'm not saying that he wasn't worthy or a great guy. He's amazing. But their love, I believe, has grown. And I think that our respect for him in time has grown too. We've seen a side of him that we never saw before. Not to say, you know, we joke a lot about how I was hard on him on the radio and made fun of him and stuff, whatever. I wouldn't have done that to anybody because you're marrying my sister. Like, it matters to me. But I know that my sister's vision of her life included a partner and all these things. And the idea, and this isn't saying that it shouldn't have worked out or wasn't going to, but I can tell you the idea of her starting over, that wasn't, I don't think that was in the cards. I really don't. Not to say she shouldn't have married him, but the idea of being like, this guy doesn't meet everything, so I'm going to start over and look for it at 28, 29, after she's invested 2 or 3 years, it wasn't happening. In her case, it worked out great. In some cases, it doesn't work out, right? Where you, you're like, damn it, I really want kids. I really want a house. I've been with this guy for 3 years. Fuck.
It's overwhelming to think about starting over for sure. But when you're someone who can't fake things.
I shouldn't use my sister as an example. But, but all I'm saying in that is I really shouldn't use Colin as an example.
They really fell in love.
They did. They did. And he's great. But what I'm saying to you is I know that she wanted to be a mom. That was her calling. That was her purpose in life is. Yeah.
That's what I feel like my purpose is. But I'm not willing to be depressed or not have a partner that I am just madly in love with to get there.
Let me ask you this, and maybe you can't answer, because I'm not trying to call out any particular person, but you were with someone recently, relative for a long time.
Yeah.
Did you consider prioritizing the mom part? Like, did you say, look, I'm not 100% happy here? Because this would be my example. Like, I'm not 100% happy, but the guy's quality enough that I would at least have a kid with him because I really want that part.
Honestly, no. Yeah. Because I want to be a mom more than anything. Like, I truly feel like that's, like, what I was put on this earth here to do. But I tried it for a while, and I was so severely unhappy and just really, I'm always worried about like the other person and their happiness. And it was eating away at me. And I was like, I had to try to picture doing that forever. And I just couldn't picture that. And I thought, I'm going to have to really let go my view of when I'm having a kid, if I'm having a kid, if I can have a kid, because nothing is worth your own mental health, you know, and I wouldn't be a good mom if I was unhappy. I mean, that's not to say that, like, if something accidentally happened that I wouldn't, you know, have figured it out and maybe had the child, but it just, I didn't want to be locked in like that.
I know some people in their early 30s, friends of mine, females, they're not out there looking to trap anybody by any means, but I don't know if they necessarily are being as careful as they once were, because it's like, if it happens, it happens, and then I get my kid, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so, again, I don't even see it as a negative. I mean, I think if you're tricking somebody, fine. But if, you know, if it's just like, look, at this point in my life, I really want to be a mom, and there are a bunch of ways to go about it. But if I got pregnant, the guy doesn't have to stick around because I'd just be so happy to be a mom. I know a couple people like that.
Yeah.
And I believe them. I believe that they would tell the guy, look, I'm pregnant. I didn't mean to be. It happened. If you want to stick around, great. If you don't, I'm just so stoked to be a mom, and I'm glad that this happened to me.
Yeah,
I know people
like
that.
Which isn't necessarily fair to the guy.
No, it's not. Because if you're a decent human being with character, then you now feel an obligation to care for these people and to be in that person's life, and you didn't necessarily have as much say as you thought you did in that happening. But that's a risky
take. I know
take.
Someone who did that in high school. She stopped taking birth control and then got knocked up.
Yeah, the idea of trapping somebody.
It was so wild.
The idea of trapping, like, having a kid or that an quote-unquote accident is going to save your relationship or keep somebody around, not only is that unrealistic, but it's really unfair to the kid.
Mm-hmm. It was the most uncomfortable baby shower. I was sitting there like, I know she did this on purpose.
Because as much as my parents' divorce fucked me up, it would have been way worse if they'd stayed together.
Oh, yeah.
Way worse.
Oh, yeah.
So, in fact, my parents' divorce is honestly probably the best thing that ever happened to me and to my sister, because we got a whole new outlook. We got a whole new, my mom got a new start. We got a new start.
Yeah, your story,
you know,
had a really beautiful.
Yeah. So we got to see how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we certainly saw how it's not supposed to be. I don't know. When I was young, it was all your parents are getting divorced. Your parents got divorced. That's so sad. Yada, yada, yada. And now I look back on it and I'm like, thank God they did.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I would absolutely advocate for a healthy divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Ours was very unhealthy. But I would say before it gets to that point, just split up. Split up. Take care of your kids. Take care of your obligations and go about your separate lives searching for something healthy, because your kids are watching and they're absorbing this. I don't mean to sound like the old guy now, but your kids are absorbing this stuff whether you think they are or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you think they can't just feel the tension, even like little kids, they can. They absolutely can. And staying together for the kids is not.
You hear it all the time, right? You hear it all the time. Yeah. Well, we're trying to keep a family unit together for the kids.
Or wait until they go to college. Like, no, no. If you do a divorce the right way, it's okay. It'll
be okay. Yeah. Which requires a lot of discipline, though, on the part of the adults, right?
For sure.
I mean, you know, you have to. There's a lot of acceptance that comes with that.
For sure. It can be done, but yeah, I mean, jeez.
Wow, that was deep, guys.
Yeah, you guys went real deep on that.
You went deep.
My mom said I was going to be single forever, and you were talking about divorce already, and I'm like, well,
your mom just comes from a different perspective. Yeah, you know, she has different needs than you do, and so I, you know.
Yeah, she got that small town mentality.
I don't even know if I want to get married one day. Like, I don't even know what I want.
I thought about that too.
You should want marriage. I'm like, should I?
It's a piece
like,
of
I
paper.
Don't know if I really care about. I don't care about. Having a kid right now, I don't care about being married.
I know Kaylin and I I think we feel the same way about this. I would be okay if the other person's okay being in a really healthy partnership and you can have a ring and the whole deal, but you know, are we going to go into a church or not? We can. My parents think that's appropriate and they think that there's a certain an additional level of spiritual commitment, but the reality is I don't go to church now. So walking into a church and promising something to you is to me not any more valuable than looking you in the eye and making you a promise that I intend to keep. That's really all there is to it. If I'm fearful of religion and that's why I'm not divorcing you, then I'm going to have a miserable life. So are you and so are my kids. Mm-hmm. So why not just have, if everybody agrees, why not just have an amazing partnership, be really, really happy. And if my kids ever, my dad said to me, well, what are you going to say if your kids ask why you didn't get married? I'd be like, I love your mom just the same. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like we have everything everybody else has, maybe more, but we just didn't
There's
take that step.
There's legal reasons too, you know, in terms of children and you know, health and all that good stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's very old timey to me. But
I hope I feel so strongly. And the reason I say this now, and I know it, is because I've never felt that strongly about somebody, and I hope I do. And then when I do, I'll probably do it the right way, but I don't know.
God's
People think
plan.
It's a commitment thing. I'm not commitment phobic. I'm phobic of being feeling trapped in something that doesn't fulfill me and I don't fulfill them. It's not the idea. Look, I would love to meet someone right now in the hallway or in the elevator or walking around
this building.
There are zero people in this building.
There's tumbleweeds out here. What do you mean?
I mean, shit. But I would love to meet someone and be like, boom, you're the one. Or one of the ones or whatever, you know, however it works. And then we're together forever. And I would love that. I would love to develop that kind of partnership with somebody.
But
I am not doing it at the expense of tradition.
Yeah.
You know, societal standard of pressure. And nobody should. And so don't listen to your mom.
I'm almost 30. You better get that ring, Christy.
Oh, I've heard it since I was 20.
Everybody in my family.
Yeah. Well, that's their viewpoint. That's not yours, you know. All right. Well, thanks for listening to The Tangent. Hit subscribe. And can you like on? I guess it's the app you're on. I don't know. Is anyone paying attention to the stats on this thing? I don't know.
Who's looking?
The suits?
Get the stats.
They don't tell me anything around here, man. I ask, hey, tell us, you know.
I know. Listener Lauren will probably tell you.
I was literally listener Lauren, man. In my head.
That's just one more note for the super fans. We love the super fans, man. We are so grateful for the super fans, man. We got Lauren, we got West Loop Tom, we got Danita, we got Aaron McHappy Meal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can go on and on about the super fans. We love you. But you don't need to tweet us or email us or DM us when you know we take a day off.
It really hurts my feelings.
It does me too. I feel like I'm letting people down.
Me too.
When I wake up on my vacation and everyone's like, I've heard this before. I'm like, guys, you do realize sitcoms only do like 12 episodes a season. For a whole year.
I just need a break.
We do 250 shows a year. You know, so yeah, we take some days off sometimes. And if we don't, then we got jack shit to talk about on this thing. So anyway.
And plus, it's also like we still get when we do topics like when we're on vacation, people still do call in like it's the
some
first time they're hearing it.
Yeah.
They'll comment and send DMs and be like, oh man, this I could relate to this topic. I'm like, see, not everyone's listening to the same time.
And see, and that's the thing. That's the thing. Right. Is like I love the people who like have heard every minute of everything we've ever done. God, we are so thankful and grateful for you. Mm-hmm. But you gotta remember that some people aren't that way. And so you're right. Last week, I was getting tons and tons of tweets and DMs about topics that we were doing as if they were the first time they heard them because not everybody hears everything.
Right.
And so we try and do the best we can when we take vacation. But yeah, there are a couple people. It's like, I've heard this before. I'm like, I know you have. You want to know why? Because it's old.
So was I.
Yeah, I heard it the first time we did it. Maybe even the second. I don't know. Thanks for listening to The Tangent.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.